Now back to a special message from Pastor Carter Conlon from Times Square Church in New York City called Waiting for the Ball to Drop.
We are about to hit a dead end. People in this society are going to become aware that they have followed something that cannot answer the deepest desires of their heart. Our trajectory, the pathway we've chosen for ourselves, is going to lead to ever-deepening despair. And in the midst of all of this, the call of God is going out to His church to come back together again. My brother, my sister, hear me on this today and take it seriously. It's time for all of us to stop vilifying one another, dividing on issues, practice that don't really matter to eternity. It's time for all of us to gather at the cross of Christ again and to realize that our mandate on the earth is to glorify God and to present to this generation an argument that cannot be withstood concerning the reality of God. And that argument comes when we let the Holy Spirit begin to touch our lives. We walk together in unity. We become the very people that God has destined us to be from before the foundation of the world. And people begin to look at us and come to visit us in our places of worship. And they begin to say one more time, the God that you serve is God. The ball that we turn towards has left us dry. It's left us with heartache year after year. This endless search of this proverbial good time and prosperity that simply seems to be slipping through our fingers. Nobody's answering the deepest desires of our heart. It's time for the church to come together in unity. The scripture tells us He put the wood in order and cut the bull in pieces and laid it on the foundation. He said, fill four water pots with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. He put the wood in order. In other words, we, you and I, need to get back to the cross. We need to get back to the work of God. We have been diverted in this generation by the lusts of our own heart, and sadly, we've allowed what I call prophets of Baal to begin to lead even a theological focus in the house of God. We have to get back to the work of God. Jesus Christ came to this world, died on a cross, so that men and women can be saved from an eternity in hell apart from God. Jesus died to give us new life, to forgive our sins. He died to give us all that He has promised that we could be through His Word and by the power of His Holy Spirit. You and I need to get back to the work of God. The work of God is the winning of the lost to this knowledge of Jesus Christ, discipling the lost so that they might be able to stand, and teaching them how to win and disciple others. This is the work of God. This is why the Church of Jesus Christ has been left in this world. There is nothing deeper than this. This is what we're called to be and what we're called to do. The altar symbolized bringing the people of God back together in unity and setting the wood before them. We need to set the cross as the center of our focus again. We've lost touch with the work of God. And we turn the house of God into this place where we just come to seek the betterment of ourselves, when that's not what the gospel of Jesus Christ is about. It's about others. It's about us being given as living sacrifices for the cause of Christ and for the sake of men and women who simply need to know Him as Lord and Savior in the days ahead. And then He said to those around, He said, pour water on the sacrifice and on the wood. Then He said, do it a second time. Do it a third time. And this represents to me the fact that Christ was 3 days in the grave. Christ died. There was no chance He could be resurrected by the power of God. No chance He was put in the tomb warm. No chance. And this is what Elijah was saying. If this is going to be done, God has to do this. This is not going to happen by some new motivational speaker, by you and I feeling good about ourselves again. It is the power of God that's going to make a difference in this generation. It is Christ coming and glorifying His own name by touching a people like you and me who know that we are dead without the power of God. There's nothing we can produce or procure that will change this generation that we're living in. It has to be the power of God touching us again. Verse 35 says, the water ran all around the altar and filled the trench. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, at the time when the day was coming to an end, at the time when darkness was upon them. It came to pass at the time in our society when people are losing heart and hope, and the direction we've gone, so many are becoming aware that, oh God, this is a dead end. This is leading nowhere. Elijah the prophet came near and he prayed. And he said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and I'm your servant, and I've done all these things at your word. Hear me, oh Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God and that you have turned their hearts back to you again. See, this is the essence. Elijah turned to prayer, and God, through this prophet, started to show the people that I am willing to answer prayer. When you are walking in unity with the purpose that I have ordained for you on the earth, when you are not walking in arrogance, but walking as servants one to another as the body of Christ, when the work of God and the cross of Christ is at the center of your theology again, when you've come to the place of realizing that if this society is going to be touched, if this generation is going to know something of God again in it, that only God is going to be able to do it. There's no chance we're going to be able to ignite another false revival, another revival of the flesh, more cutting and dancing and leaping and shouting and pretending that God is with us. This is a story for those among us who are sick of all the powerless religion, sick of all the self-serving theology, and are crying out saying, God, for the name of Christ, come again, Lord, and turn the people back to you. Save the lost. Bring them home again to your kingdom. And Elijah cried, hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you're the Lord God and you've turned their hearts back to you again. Elijah was standing before the people and showing them that when the cross is the center of theology, when you've come back to the work of God, when you pray, God will answer your prayer.
My uncles, my fathers, all involved in loan sharking, you name it. I mean, if it was dark, they were involved in it. And I was involved in it. And I think more and more as my life went on, you know, you reach out for that brass ring and you think, wow, if I just get this, I'll be okay. I'll be happy. I'll find that peace I want. In the 80s, federal indictments came down on everybody. Came down on my uncles, came down on my father. My father got busted with a meth lab. He got busted with $1 million some odd in cash. I don't know, 30 some pounds of methamphetamine in the house when they came in. My Uncle Harry ended up doing 16 years. He came out and died 2 months later. Uncle Roy just came home. He's got an ankle brace and he's in his 80s. He just came home after 20-some years. But heavy indictments came down. There was a murder involved. There was extortion involved. I was indicted under the New Jersey State Kingpin Act, mandatory 25 years. No exceptions. After 27 months of laying in a maximum security cell in New Jersey, I was only out once a week for 1 hour. So we all went to prison. I came home. I got into some counterfeiting. We were just still doing a lot of things. I don't want to get into what they were, but there was just a lot of stuff that I knew a lot of people, and we were doing a lot of things still. And then I was in a room, had a bag of cocaine, and I had some female friends in the room. And I remember waking up. I think this was the start of my salvation. I really do. And I remember waking up, and I remember saying, if this is all there is, I don't want it anymore. I just don't even want to live. I was just saturated. I was just saturated with sin. I get up from this hotel room that night, and I start wandering into churches, man. I hear Pastor Carter talking about that. And I did the same thing, and I just started walking into churches. And I ended up going over to my sister's house in New Jersey. My sister was saved. Her brother-in-law was saved. And there was this little skinny pastor. He would come in to the house, and I was staying with her for a few weeks, and he kept telling me, you need Jesus. You need, I said, man, please leave me alone. So one night, I booked my brother-in-law and me to Times Square Church, and we went to a little arts cafe afterwards around the corner. He says, Earl, God has a place for you. He has a mansion for you. He has a testimony for you. You got a testimony to give. You got to share. And I looked at him and I said, no disrespect, sir. I know you're a pastor and everything, but you're crazy. I says, there's no way in the world I got anything. God's got anything for me. Well, a year later, I ended up being in Times Square Church and helping build Times Square Church and helping redo Times Square Church. And I know there's a God today. I know that. I mean, talk about supernatural things. You saw about, you know, God changing lives and changing the hearts of kings. Well, he changed my heart. My heart was wickeder than any of those kings, and I read all about them. And my mother was a great woman. She was fantastic. All these years, she came to visit me in prison. She wrote me all the time. There was always Jesus involved, always Jesus. And she was a prayer warrior. She prayed my father in. He came to the Lord before he died. Prayed my two uncles in. My Uncle Roy still is a little hard-headed. But that's the story, and I'm sticking to it.
When people knew that they had failed, when they knew there was no hope of ever confronting the arrogant, powerful society that was before them, that were defying the lordship of Christ, and they went into an upper room, and what did they do in their failure? They just prayed and said, "Oh God, come to us and do something in us that will be an irrefutable testimony of who you are." And when they prayed, the scripture says the fire came down and consumed the burnt sacrifice, the wood, the stones, the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trencher. It licked up the impossibility. And when the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, "The Lord, He is God, the Lord, He is God." When people stepped out of the upper room in Acts chapter 2, the very same thing had happened. They had gone, they walked into that room in one accord and in one place. They were in unity with God, the purpose of God, and with one another. The cross and the cost of it was at the center of their theology. They all knew that to follow Jesus might cost them dearly in the road that was ahead of them. And they called out and they said, "Lord, use us, O God, to turn this generation around. Use us, Lord, that your purposes might be fulfilled in this hour in which we are living." And just as in Elijah's day, the scripture tells us that suddenly the fire of God fell, and there were cloven tongues of fire that sat upon each of them. And every man, every woman in that room was given the supernatural ability of God to become a testimony of the reality of who He is. And they stepped out into the marketplace. And when they began to make those declarations of this power of God in languages that people around them understood, with the supernatural power of God upon them, the people did just as they did in Elijah's day. And they said, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." And 3,000 turned and bent their knee to the lordship of Jesus Christ that very day. And those 120 people in that upper room were all that God needed to turn back the armies of Rome from conquering the testimony of God in that generation and even in our world today. I want to challenge you, my brother and my sister. Turn away from the prophets of Baal. Turn away from all of those that have taken the simplicity of Christ and turned it into some kind of a self-serving thing and led us on a path that has brought our nation into a point of unspeakable darkness. It's time to turn our backs on Baal and turn our faces to the altar of God, that in the not distant future, people would turn away from this Baal and turn around and see a church where the power of God is falling and people's lives are being transformed, where prayer is being offered up to God, not just for ourselves, but we pray for the sake of those who still have an opportunity to hear in our city and in our society. Pray like you've never prayed before. Turn to God like you've never turned to God before. It's the evening time. It's dark. It's the midnight hour. Our society is so radically changing. Evil feels like it has the upper hand. But I tell you, as long as God lives, as long as there are people who are willing to call out to Him, the opportunity to see this turn around and to see the people turn their backs on this altar of Baal and turn their faces to the altar of God still remains. It's my prayer that we might know incredible mercy in the coming days. Oh Lord Jesus Christ, we call out to You. In the power of Your mercy and in the strength of Your character, we ask You, God, to come down one more time in this generation and show this generation that You are God. Bring Your church together again. Give us the power to pray not for ourselves but for others. Give us the grace, O God, to get our theology straight and to understand our divine purpose on the earth in this time in which we're living. Help us, O Lord God. Help us, Lord, to do what You call us to do for Your holy name's sake and for one express purpose and one purpose alone, that the people may turn back to You again and acknowledge You as God. May we live to hear in our streets, "The Lord is God. The Lord is God," one more time. Thank You for hearing my heart today. May God, my brother, my sister, give You grace. May we continue and start to pray like we've never prayed before. Remember, above all things, it's time to pray now. In Jesus' name, amen.
From Times Square Church in New York City, thank you for joining us for this New Year's special with Pastor Carter Conlon.